My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Boom. Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
This is how we do it.
Why did I know that was going to happen? You are so nasty. You are easily the most nasty person. What does Kennedy say about you?
Kennedy, friend of the podcast, Kennedy Jones, says that I am the nastiest, not nasty person she has ever met.
But do you remember when you tweeted about that? And then you said
and
that
I said it was you. Yeah. And then she felt bad, but she didn't want to say anything. So
and
she
I
kept
was
it
like,
to herself.
And I was
and
like,
you
that
were like,
like,
yeah, no,
say.
Sure, I said that.
I honestly, I say shit constantly. And I'm like, I never remember it. People tell me I say things and I'm like, yeah, definitely, probably.
I might as well have said that, whatever.
I might as well have. But it
anyways,
wasn't me.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome.
How
to
are
Recovering
you
Gleek.
Ian, what's up? How are you?
Wait, we got to do our intro. We're trying to brand ourselves.
Sorry, God. Hi, my name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek.
And my name is Ian Allred, and I am a Gleek. Okay, now we can talk.
Hi, Ian. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I am officially unemployed. Today was my last day at my job.
Okay, but explain why you're unemployed.
Oh, I'm going back to school.
Yeah,
I quit
it's
my
not
job.
Just like it is like
oh,
a positive
yeah, like I didn't
thing.
Get
it's
fired.
Not like you got
oh,
fired.
Definitely. Hear me out. My coworkers are amazing. They threw me an ice cream party today.
Oh.
Because I left. I'm a really annoying person, and I always say to them, like,
no.
You guys, we should just kick everyone out of the store and we should just have an ice cream party. And they always like laugh at me, even though like they just like think that me being annoying is funny, which like glad I conned them into thinking that. And then today they all my supervisors came into the store and then threw me an ice cream party. Isn't that so sweet?
Did they throw everyone out of the store?
No, it was just really quiet, so we didn't even have to.
That's half sweet.
Yeah, it is half sweet. Honestly, I wish they would have, but I'm sure they would have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Anyways, happy premiere day.
Thank you. What?
We dropped the podcast today.
Oh my God. I was like, what are you talking about? Yay. Oh my God. Yeah. People have been listening to the podcast. I've been getting like texts from people and Snapchats and tweets from people calling us out. I'm really excited.
Olivia Sham Snapchatted me and she just said, Ian, why do you keep saying Leia Michelle? And then immediately after she Snapchatted me again and said, never mind. The problem took care of itself.
Honestly, it was bugging me too, Olivia. I can't not deal with him. She Snapchatted me and was like, honestly, me too, queen, when I was talking about how much I thought I was Rachel Berry, because she wanted to do Rachel Berry's whole skincare routine. And honestly, she can be a part
me
of
too,
our Rachel Berry club.
Yes, Rachel Berry's everywhere. Unite. We will not be held down any longer. I see a lot of people crapping on Rachel Berry every time they talk about Glee. And okay, here's the deal. It's warranted.
It's warranted.
But
yeah,
it also hurts my heart.
Yeah, I take it personally. I truly do.
Yeah, because you're making fun of me. What you don't know is every time you crap on Rachel, you crap on me. And it really hurts my feelings. So please apologize. I texted you earlier. So I texted you the other day. I texted Lena and I just said, SOS, I'm watching Glee videos on YouTube and crying. Doing this podcast has awakened something in me.
Were you really crying?
Yes.
That's so funny. Okay. I don't think I've ever known you to cry. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, and I don't cry.
That's so funny.
Here's the down and dirty lowdown. I truly, Glee was, it's bizarre because Glee was such an important part of my life, and yet I have not come in contact with it for 7 years.
Really?
So I started watching Glee with Showmance, as I have mentioned.
Showmance.
And I was like an obsessive fan for the first 2 seasons. And then season 3, I was a junior in high school, so I was a little bit older. And also the show was kind of like going off the rails a little bit. So I still watched it every week, but I wasn't as into it. And then by season 4, I was like, this show is going nowhere fast. And so I stopped watching it halfway through season 4. And straight up, since like February of 2013, the only interactions I've had with Glee is I watched the Cory Monteith episode for obvious reasons. And then I watched half of the finale and got bored and turned it off.
No, the fuck you did not.
But like, I have not watched Glee, listened to Glee, watched videos of Glee in 7 years. So every feeling I have tied to the show is specifically tied to me being like 14 or 15 years old and no other part of my life. So all of a sudden, just to have all of those emotions come rushing back to me at once, I have relapsed hardcore. I have watched the pilot and Showmance 2 times. I watched Acapellas 2 times. I just keep watching videos of it on YouTube. I'm going all in on Glee. This podcast had an adverse effect. I am going back to being 14 years old.
I thought we were recovering, sir.
No, it didn't work. We went back and it didn't work. I wasn't ready yet.
I know. I first realized that you weren't recovering when you sent me a screenshot of your phone and it like just had Glee playing in the background. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, we're not supposed to be doing this.
I would like to clarify the video. It wasn't like I was watching a video of Kurt and Mercedes doing 4 minutes and crying. No, what is that song called? 5 minutes, 4 minutes?
It's 4 minutes.
I was watching, it is a legitimate reason, I was watching when they sing Don't Stop Believin' on the 100th episode, an episode I have not seen. But I was watching the clip of when they sing it, and it's they start out and it's just the original Glee Club members who sing it, and then when it gets to Cory Monteith's solo, they split it up between the cast members. Yeah. And so I feel like that's a warranted cry.
Oh, I would cry too.
I stand by it proudly. Also, I had a great personal victory. I had to watch Acapellas, obviously, for this podcast. And my mom was like, what are you watching? And she was like, oh, I'll watch it with you. And then I was like, heck no, is my mom's first introduction to Glee going to be Acapellas?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll watch this later. I'm going to show you the pilot. And my mom, as I've mentioned, freaking hated Glee so much. She's a trash talker all the time. She laughed so much.
Aww.
She would not admit that she liked it.
That's
all
so
she
sweet.
Would say, all she would say is, it was better than I remember it being. And I was like, whatever, mom. But she ended up staying for Showmance and Acapellas, watched all 3. So that is that's an 11-year-old wound that is finally healing.
That's and our now recovering Gleek.
Now I'm trying to talk my brother into watching Glee.
Oh my God.
And I'm trying to be like, so you can listen to the podcast and support me, but it's actually, my goal is revenge and to get each of my family members that made fun of me hooked on the show so that now we are all on a level playing field.
Oh, yeah. Bring them down to your level. I love to hear it. Honestly, Alex, if you're listening in, welcome. We're really happy to have you.
Welcome to the road of madness.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dark time.
Yeah, it really is. It's been dark. It's going to get dark.
It's going to get darker.
It's going to get dork. All right. Let's talk about Glee.
Glee. All right.
This is how we do it.
There.
Are you kidding me? Was that genuine?
Here's the deal.
Can you tell that Ian and I are professional singers?
Did you know that people have paid me to sing on stage before? So I was going to try and match your pitch.
Oh.
And then right as I started for it, I said, my brain said, Ian, that's too high of a key. You got to bail. And so I bailed right as I went to hit the note. That's what came out. Anyways, redo.
I can't wait to listen.
This is what happened on Glee.
Whoa. Except very good.
Actually, that was wrong because we're doing Glacks first.
Yeah. Let's do some. This is how we Glack.
These are your Glacks. Okay. Acapellas. First off, I looked up freaking fun facts about this episode. There are none.
Honestly, not surprising. So,
because, I mean, anyways.
It's acapellas.
It's acapellas. But I just kind of stole some sound bites from reviews. I'm going to read those. So, Acapellas premiered on September 16th, 2009. It was written by Ryan Murphy. Is that a reason that it's less strong?
Maybe. Answer for your crime.
That's up to you guys to decide. We're not saying anything. It was directed by John Scott. I don't know who that is, so no shade to you, John Scott. You did your best. Here is an actual fun fact. The part of Dakota Johnson was supposed to be Cheyenne Jackson.
Hi, this is Ian from the future. Throughout this entire episode, Lena and I referred to the character of Dakota Stanley as Dakota Johnson. It's not a bit, we're just stupid. So, sorry about that. However, if you want to enhance your listening experience, every time we mention Vocal Adrenaline's choreographer, picture the part being played by Dakota Johnson of 50 Shades of Grey fame. Now back to the podcast.
For those of you who do not know, Cheyenne Jackson is a very successful Broadway actor. He was in Xanadu. He was in, oh gosh, he's been in all sorts of Broadway shows. But if you're a Glee fan, you will know him as, I don't remember his name, but the Vocal Adrenaline coach in season 2. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be Dakota Johnson. He literally flew from New York to Los Angeles to film, and after landing in Los Angeles, realized he'd come down with the flu and had to cancel. The part then went to Whit Kirkford, who's in the episode now. So I started listening to the podcast Showmance, which is Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz talking about their time on Glee, because I wanted to steal their fun facts. Can I just say, they also use Glee as a censor?
No, they don't. Wow.
I would like everyone to know that we are not trying to copy them. I truly had never listened to that podcast before yesterday.
Yeah.
We thought we were being original and very funny. They thought of it first. Oops.
Honestly, great minds. They really do think alike.
But here's something that I got off of Showmance. They talked about, so this has Mercedes' first solo, which is Bust Your Windows. They mentioned that Amber Riley really liked the song, and she pitched the song to the creators. She was just like, here's this song that I really like. Aww. And then they got the script, and they had put it in the script for her.
Amber that Riley, is, I love her.
I love that. It's very nice.
That's super awesome.
This episode also has a lot of recurring characters that appear in it. Sandy Ryerson is back. Howard Bamboo is back. I love Howard Bamboo.
Can I just
say,
I think Howard is maybe like my favorite like tiny side character. I love him. Yeah. What a little
He's
bean
the best.
That I kiss on his forehead.
It's also got special guest star Josh Groban.
Whoa.
It's also got special guest star Victor Garber as Will's dad.
Yeah. The king in Cinderella starring Brandy.
Oh, I know him as Daddy Warbucks in the 90s Annie.
True.
He's also apparently in Titanic, but who's never seen Titanic? Me.
Have you never seen Titanic?
No.
It's
Oops,
so
sorry,
good. Wait,
I didn't
wait,
get around to
Should
it.
Should this be a Titanic podcast?
Yes, it
it's
is. You
so
tell
good.
Me the plot of Titanic, and I just
well,
listen.
Well, hear me out. You already know the plot of Titanic. Let's watch it.
That's true. The main reason I haven't seen Titanic is because it has a full frontal nudity shot of Kate Winslet in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part.
That movie came out when I was like 4 or 5, so of course I wasn't going to watch it as a 4 or 5 year old. But it was one of those movies that it came out and I was too young to see it. And then by the time I was old enough to see it, everyone had just shut up about it. And so I was like, oh, whatever.
People
I just never got around to it.
Shut up about Titanic? I swear, yes, I think my family had like an edited version of Titanic because I don't
that
remember.
That was just full frontal nudity the whole time.
Shut the fuck up.
It was like audio over Kate Winslet's entire naked
Honestly,
body.
I would watch that. I love Kate Winslet. Are you kidding me? No, I think I don't remember seeing the nudity until I was much older. But I remember seeing Titanic when I was like 9, like super, 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 super young. I'm just really emotionally mature.
There was a girl in my elementary school who watched Titanic, and then she would come to class every day because I think her parents were having her like watch it in bits, and she'd come to class every day and tell her best friend about the scenes she had watched the night before. So it's like every day she'd be like, okay, and here's what you missed on Titanic.
Made her watch it in bits. That is so funny.
It's like a 2.5 to 3 hour
it's
movie.
It's so long.
And we were in like the 4th grade. So I imagine she didn't have a long attention span. Yeah. And her parents were like, we're going to cut this thing up.
Yeah. They put it into chapters. I love to hear it. Titanic is so good.
All right. Well, that was the Titanic hour of our podcast. Now back to Glax. So I just, because there aren't a lot of interesting things about this episode behind the scenes, here's just some reviews that I thought were interesting. Ryan Brockton of the New York Post, after this episode, said the key to the show lies directly within the female leads. And he specifically shouted out Lea Michele as Rachel, Diana Agron as Quinn, and Amber Riley as Mercedes. And amen.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that.
Also, on the other end of the spectrum, on things that I don't love, Mike Hale of the New York Times said, the humor can't make up for the lack of big production numbers. The problem for the show is always going to be how to fill the gaps between songs. Huh. A lot of the current plot lines, like Will and his wife's phantom baby, are already getting old, so it would behoove the producers to keep those gaps as short as possible.
Whoa.
I hate that.
Yeah, that's
because
a scathing
one of the
review.
Reasons, well, one of the reasons I stopped watching Glee later on is because the like music video aspect took precedence over story. That I felt like it became like, here's the greatest hits that are on the radio, and also we forced a storyline in so we can check off all these songs, and that's why I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
And I just hate that back in the day when the show was so plot focused, this guy was like, it should be more music focused.
Yeah,
and then that,
that's super interesting.
Yeah, and in my opinion, that ultimately was one of the downfalls of Glee. Also, Jesselyn Gilsig is a much more supportive partner than Terry is and than I would be in this scenario, because she said about Matthew Morrison rapping, quote, he can do it. It didn't look like a joke.
Jesselyn.
It actually looked totally authentic,
Jesselyn.
And he was fantastic.
Jesselyn.
What you don't know is that she said this in, it was supposed to be in the like uppercase, lowercase sarcastic font, and they messed it up. So she said, he can do it. It didn't look like a joke. It actually looked totally authentic. But when it's typed out in lowercase, you think she's being sincere.
But we can assure you she is not.
She was doing the little bent over SpongeBob meme with the chicken arms as she was saying it. But the typist just couldn't get her tone right.
Oh.
And they just wrote it like that. Jesselyn, we're sorry. We're sorry that happened to you. And yeah. Now everyone thinks you have bad taste.
What a misprint. I'm really sorry about that, Jesselyn.
Honestly, she should sue. She should...
I'm about to sue for her.
She should sue. She should sue. She should sue. There it is. We got it back.
She should sue.
She should sue shoes by the she should. The final glact of this episode are just a list of musical numbers. On the list of musical numbers on Wikipedia, it listed for He's a Jolly Good Fellow, which they technically do sing.
My God.
So there's musical number one.
Nasty.
Then we got This Is How We Do It by Montel
this
Jordan.
This is how we do it.
Then we got Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. I don't know R&B. I'm very white. So I apologize if I butcher these people's names. Then we got
You didn't
Mercy.
Like Google it before?
I truly copy and pasted this about 30 seconds. I copy and pasted this while we were speaking over FaceTime because I'd forgotten to do it. Then we have Mercy by Duffy.
Yes.
And then we got Bust Your Windows by Jasmine Sullivan. And finally, we got I Want to Sex You Up by Color Me Bad with two D's. Ooh. And those are your clacks.
Ew, never say clacks like that again. You belong in prison.
I'm sorry, it was my glact is acting up again.
Oh my god, I don't like these names anymore when you do it like that.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right, so let's talk. I should say my feelings first because I have real anxiety that people are going to judge me. And if I hear your opinion first, I might change mine. And I'm okay. An adult who's working on that kind of shit. Hear me out. I'm really trying really hard to make this podcast a Mr. Shu hate podcast. And this episode is all Mr. Shu. And I fucking hate it.
Oh my gosh. I was so worried. I thought you were going to be like, but this episode,
no.
I thought he was kind of sexy. And no. I was going to be like, the podcast is canceled.
No. Oh
we're
my
God.
We're
not doing it anymore.
No. I sent you a Marco Polo of me gagging.
The way you set that confession up made me sweat. I got to tell you. Because you were like, okay, it's a dark secret. I cannot reveal this to anyone. I thought you were going to be like, Mr. Shu got me a little hot and heavy.
Oh
and
my God.
I was gonna barf.
Hear me out. When I watch this show, I'm a 14-year-old child. I don't like it. This is a Mr. Shu hate podcast, at least in my eyes. So that's how I felt about this episode. Everything else I like was like there were like 3 moments that we'll talk about that I super dug, but the rest of it I was like, ugh, this is too much Mr. Shu for my liking. Ugh. Lauren, friend of the podcast and my special friend Lauren, she texted me and she was like, just get to the point. Get on Mr. Shu already. And I was like, oh, you got a big storm coming with acapellas, baby. And here it is. Tell me about your feelings, Ian.
Here is the issue with getting to the point and trashing on the show too much in the beginning. As I was relapsing into Glee, I started to think maybe Glee did continue to be really good, and I just got too distracted with school, and like I should have kept watching it. And so I picked up where I left off in season 4 and realized, no, I was right to stop watching this show. It's not good later on. But in order to fully appreciate how bad it gets, we gotta be honest about the bright moments. So, I'm sorry, the point is that the early episodes of Glee are bangers.
They're so good.
And with the occasional Mr. Shu trying to be sexy, or in the case of acapellas, the frequent Mr. Shu trying to be sexy.
It's way too frequent. There are moments in this episode, like I said, that are like really cool, but those moments are dulled by how much they're trying to make Mr. Shu a honey in this, and I don't buy it.
I feel it. I'm there. Okay. I don't know what's going on because I watched this episode last night and I remembered that this episode had a bad reputation. Because here's what you don't get about me or know about me at this point. When I say I was a fan of Glee, I don't mean like, and I watched it every week. I mean like I was on the message boards. I was watching the extra videos that Fox put out that they would do Glee Wines every week. I would be watching the Glee Wines. Mm-hmm. I would look at production photos to see what the next episode was going to be about. Like I was there. I was in it. I was listening to the music before the episode aired. So the general consensus I remembered on the IMDb message boards back in 2010 was that of the first 13 episodes of season 1, which is the beginning until they go to sectionals, that was viewed as like a very bright moment in the show, the one exception being acapellas.
Yeah, definitely.
I remembered that this episode had a bad reputation. And so when I watched it last night, I was shocked that I really enjoyed it and thought it was really good. And then I rewatched it today before the podcast, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, my good man. I'm so glad you changed.
Is this what I watched? I think it was the pure excitement that my mom was watching Glee and laughing at it that it blinded me to this episode. And because, okay, to be fair, this episode has many funny moments in it.
Certainly.
And it's got a B plot that I freaking love. But the A plot I do not like. But I think the fact that she was enjoying all of that stuff made me so excited that I built up in my mind that it was a very good episode. And then when I watched it by myself today, I was like, oh, no, yeah, that's the Acafellas I know and only kind of love.
And you're so right. The B plot is everything to me. It is so good. It should have been the A plot, and the B plot should have been Mr. Shu getting his groove back.
The tagline of Acafellas is how Mr. Shu tried to get his groove back.
He really did. Do you know anything about, you know how, like, Amish people go away for a year to, like...
Rumspringa. Here's, the Amish community. Rumspringa is my guess as to how that's pronounced.
I think you're right.
Rumspringa. It's Rumspringa.
Yeah. This is Mr. Shu's Rumspringa. Springa? Springa? I don't know. I'm not Amish.
Hello, you guys. I just remembered something that I wanted to mention in this episode, but then I didn't. So I'm just going back and recording it now. So hello, this is Ian from the future. Did you know that 2020 is still terrible? So I wanted to give a shout out to my friend Tiffany Allen. Every time I edit together a rough draft of one of the episodes, I send it to Tiffany so she can listen to it, because Lena and I are a little bit biased. And she can tell me what she thinks, what parts work, what parts don't work. What parts should be cut out. She was the one that listened to the first take of Showmance and was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense, which was something we really needed to hear. So I know, Tiffany, that when you told me you wanted a producer credit earlier today, you were joking, but I'm giving you a shout out anyway because you're a superstar. Anyways, back to Acafellas.
Okay, so we're keeping our structure kind of fast and loose. We're going to try a new thing this week. We're going to go back to... just kind of like a rough, overview of the podcast, the show.
We are going to tell you what you missed on the last two episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, because I'm sure that's what you want to hear. Okay, so last week we did the good, the bad, and the ugly. This week we're going to, because there's not as much good and there's a lot of bad.
We had many, many thoughts about this episode.
Yeah.
Not many of them were good. But also many of them were just kind of like thoughts that we couldn't properly categorize.
Yeah. So we're just going to talk about the episode a little bit and it'll be good. So I'll give you like a really, I'll tell you what IMDb says about what the plot is of this episode, Acafellas. Okay. Will forms the Acafellas, an all-male a cappella vocal group, and spends more time building his own confidence than he does with the Glee Club. In Will's absence, the Glee Club decides to hire a well-known choreographer to help coach them to nationals. Meanwhile, Mercedes is bitten by the love bug, but her feelings aren't reciprocated. When the Acafellas perform at the PTA meeting, they get a surprise backstage visit from Josh Groban. And that's what it says. That's the only thing it says about the plot. So let's talk about the episode.
All right. Let's talk about Acafellas. So we open up on Will having dinner with his parents. Will announces that Terry's pregnant. She's not actually pregnant. And then she leaves. And then his dad gives him a pep talk. Here's the deal.
What's the deal?
His dad is like, Will, you know, I got to tell you, I have some regrets about the kind of dad I was. Mind you, one episode prior, Will and Terry go house hunting, and we get a little non sequitur from Will where he mentions that one time his dad got drunk and burned down their entire house.
Yeah.
And so, flash forward to Acafellas, Victor Garber is like,
I don't think Daddy Warbucks would do such a thing. Wears a bow tie.
Well, obviously he did, but he says to Will, he's like, I wasn't that good of a dad, you know? I traveled a lot. You burned down your house! And it's not one of those things where you're like Sue's mom being dead, but then she's not dead, but it's two seasons later, so you've forgotten.
This is a single episode.
It was a week prior we heard Will confess that you burned down your house, and you're like, man, if I could do it over, I'd keep everything the same, except I wouldn't travel so much.
And you know, the weird thing is about that is it's not two separate writers who are writing that. It's Ryan Murphy both times. So he's the one who's not keeping track of that. Oh my God. I mean,
that just shows how Will turned out the way he is. The Schusters think that arson is fine.
Yeah, the Schusters
think that. But traveling too much is where you draw the line.
There it is. Ugh, my God. So another, this whole episode is like kind of themed around Mr. Shu feeling not brave and not confident, right? And they're always like, Daddy Schuster is like, not Will. Oh. I'm not talking about Will.
Daddy. Zaddy Schuster.
Zaddy
From now
Schuster.
On, Will will only be referred to as Zaddy Schuster.
I don't want to do this cut podcast that out. Anymore. That was the most nasty.
To any
honestly,
friends
as
or family
a punishment
listening,
for saying that, you
my
have
sincerest
to leave
apologies.
It in. Oh my God.
I'm going to get hate mail. I'm going to have family members be like, you can't attend family functions anymore after we heard
Literally,
that.
Your first hate mail comes from me. BRB. That was so goddamn nasty. Anyway.
Anyways. So Zaddy Schuster's trying to get his groove back.
Yeah. Oh my God. Stop. Mr. Shu is trying to get his groove back. So, cut to glee rehearsal. Will is being a terrible choreographer, and we find out that Quinn and Santana pulled Rachel aside, and they were like, yo, girlfriend, new friend, hey, co-glee club member, these dances suck. You should totally call Mr. Shu out for being a terrible choreographer. We should totally get the guy who does the vocal adrenaline stuff to come here, right? And Rachel is like, oh my God, they're talking to me and they're not like bursting into flames. They want to talk to me. What?
I am astounded that you memorized the verbatim dialogue from that scene. I wrote down, first of all, this episode is prime Queen Bee Quinn.
It certainly is.
Say that 10 times fast, Queen Bee Quinn,
Queen Bee Quinn. Quinn.
So, Queen Bee Quinn is at her nastiest in this episode. It is also when Santana finally comes into her own, starts to at least.
Thank God.
I love the tight camera shot when they're talking to Rachel, where that it's like your perspective is you are Rachel, and both of them are filling the entire frame, staring straight into the camera. Both of them are very good in this episode.
Yeah.
I love Santana and Queen Bee Quinn.
Honestly, the Cheerios, oh my God, I love them. I love Quinn. I love Santana. I love them being just so manipulative to everyone. Ugh, why do we love the villains so much? What's up with us?
The style of humor for Glee is not the most politically correct. And so when a positive character says something that's not politically correct, you're like,
ugh, yeah.
Because they're supposed to be the person you're rooting for. When the villains say it, it's not as uncomfortable because they're straight up just supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
So I feel when the villains insult people, I feel better about it than when like Rachel does.
I get the feeling that Ryan Murphy's humor is kind of more not politically correct.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Right?
All of his shows are like that, yeah.
So that's why I think the villains are always super, super, super strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because his writing just works better for villains.
It does. It does. Anyway, so in Glee Club rehearsal, so Rachel just like called Mr. Shu out for being a bad choreographer. So it gets revealed during Santana and Quinn's talk with Rachel that Dakota Johnson was an understudy for Lumiere on Broadway. And then they tell that to Mr. Shu, and Mr. Shu goes, that doesn't mean that he performed. And then Quinn pipes up and Quinn is like, well, did you ever perform after you graduated? Did you even try? And then that gets brought, that like brings up Will's feelings about being not brave and not having the balls to do shit.
And let me tell you guys, Zaddy Schuster got to get his groove
back. I swear to God, Ian, why do you keep doing this?
That's what the episode was called, and then they had to change it because it was the parents' council said that's too sexy. You're corrupting America's youth. No more Zaddy Schuster. And so they had to change his name to Will.
I dare you. Call him Zaddy one more time. Any hoosers? So Quinn acts like a bitch to Will. Cut to Will and Emma in Emma's office. didn't like the last episode. Emma was like, hey, we should stop talking. And then there's Will crying on Emma's shoulder, trying to make her his like emotional lapdog. Man, he sucks.
Yeah, Will's got, he's got to like get a friend, you
he
know?
He definitely does. You know what? I think he might get some friends in this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Can I say before we leave this scene?
Yeah.
That when Emma's talking to Zaddy Schuster, she says to him, she says that being famous takes more certainty than talent. And yes. Then she says, just look at John Stamos. Who then, John Stamos, spoiler alert, in one season will be a recurring guest star on this show.
Oh my God, I loved
just them throwing so much shade at John Stamos. And he still a year later was like, heck yeah, I'll be on that show.
For sure, I'm in. Anyway, and then Emma says something like, there's nothing sexier than a man with confidence. Another person calling out Will not being confident. Wow, of course, Will joined the Acapellos. He's basically being pushed to.
He gotta get that confidence so he can be sexy again.
You and I are enemies.
That man's currency is his sex appeal. If he ain't sexy, you think that the school board is gonna have him still teach at that school? He was cast. He was hired. Can you tell that I am an actor that I say cast instead of hired? He was hired as a teacher on sex appeal alone.
I wish you kids at home could see the face I'm making at Ian right now.
If you don't have a teacher that's rapping and dancing dirty in front of your kids, oh what are they doing at school?
Oh my God.
Homeschool them.
Anyway. Oh my God. Be sexy yourself.
You take up that mantle, you do what that teacher's not doing, and you dance sexy in front of your kids. Disclaimer, don't, this is not an advice podcast. We don't want to be arrested, we don't want to go to jail. So, all of this advice is 100% satirical. If you take our advice, it is not our fault when you end up in prison with Will Schuster. Zaddy Schuster, excuse me. Anyways, what were you saying about Glee?
Where were we? You are so gross.
Okay, so Zaddy Schuster learns that the key to re-unlocking his sex appeal is, in fact, getting his groove back. As we have said, Zaddy Schuster gonna get his groove back. And scene, go.
Cut to... I can't go on.
Lena's gonna quit the podcast. It's just gonna be me from now on.
This is a Will Schuster hate podcast, Ian. You're not helping me. Anyway.
I don't know. This episode got me feeling some kind of way. I might turn a corner with Will. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm speechless. I'm really speechless. Anyway! Cut to the teacher's lounge. We run into Sandy, and I guess they're having, like, a party because the shop teacher lost his thumbs, so they're having a party to, like, make him feel better. The shop teacher's name is Henri.
A party is the worst way to phrase that.
What?
They're comforting him.
Yeah,
make it sound like he showed up and they're like, surprise, you lost your thumbs.
Is that not what happened?
No, it's like when someone you know has a family member pass away and you bring them food. And then, like, if they don't want to be alone, you hang out with them.
Okay. You're right. Anyway, I'm wrong. Anyway, okay, so they're having a party for Henri. He just lost his thumb. It's not a party. It's a bit of a wake for his thumbs.
They're having a funeral for his thumbs.
And, Henri is super upset. He's like, is it Henri that they're singing to?
It's Henri.
Yeah. So Henri is upset, and then it's Will, and it's
Ken.
It's Ken. You do it. I'm lost in the sauce.
It's Will. It's Henri. We got Ken Tanaka. We got Sandy Ryerson, mm-hmm. and we got special guest Howard Bamboo.
Howard Bamboo. I love him.
Howard Bamboo. The best. Why wasn't he used more?
I don't know.
Anyways, so they have a moment where they're all complaining about like how rough their lives are. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this part made me laugh out loud. Where Sandy Ryerson is complaining that he doesn't have a creative outlet in his life. Mm-hmm. All he has is his Desperate Housewives fan fiction and like, oh, his life is so hard.
That was everything and then, to me.
And then Will Schuster, and it's completely straight, is like, I know what you mean, man. I just found out that I can't dance. And then Henri goes, I don't have any thumbs.
I hate and Will Schuster.
And so in order to comfort Henri, it gets all awkward and they like pat his back and say, I'm sorry. And then to try and comfort him, Sandy starts singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Which like...
They all join in.
And they do a beautiful three-bar harmony. No, it's beautiful.
I have no hate on that scene. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
The fact that they are talking about how rough their lives are because they found out they can't dance and this man has just lost his thumbs is hilarious.
And it's not just some man. Like, he's literally the shop teacher. Like, that's his livelihood.
Yeah, like, he lost his job, essentially.
Yeah.
So, Zaddy Schuster, he's like, wait a second. We can sing really well. This gives me an idea. This is how we do it.
And then it cuts to a montage of them. Cuts to a montage of them doing rap a cappella music in his living room. And hear me out. I don't mind Ken. I think Henri's pretty cute.
I mind Ken big time.
Well,
almost
not in this scene.
As much as Will.
Not in this scene, right?
Oh, not in this scene.
Yeah.
But in later performances,
oh,
100%.
Sure. It's not that. It's like, you know, but it's Will rapping and like, why did they choose like rap a cappella music to do? It's madness. Anyway, Sandy shows up to the apartment and he's like, hey guys, I'm ready to do some a cappella music. And then Will's like, it's so fucking creepy when you're in this. So we voted and you're out of the band. And they slam the door in his face and it's so funny.
I have in my notes during that scene, to be fair, the group is still creepy with Will in
it. Oh, certainly. And that's the thing, is Will just doesn't think he's creepy, so whatever.
He got no self-awareness.
And then Terry interrupts their rehearsal and is like, Will, be quiet. If I don't get enough sleep, I could miscarry. Which, like, Terry, come on. And then she, like, seduces him into bed, and then we get a montage of them having a bunch of sex.
Zaddy Williams getting his groove
Zaddy Williams?
Back. Zaddy William Schuster.
Stop this madness. Get some help.
Have I been calling him Zaddy Schuster or
yeah,
Zaddy Will?
Zaddy Schuster,
I
think.
I'm so lost
Honestly,
in my own madness, I can't keep track.
I've been ignoring you for the most part. Anyway, so we're cut with scenes of them having sex, rolling around together, and Will is talking over it, and he's like, yeah, me being this confident has made my wife more attracted to me than ever. We have sex like once a week now. And then it's cut with scenes of Terry taking a bunch of pregnancy tests and all of them ending up negative. Cut to the Glee rehearsal. And we learn that Will has been, like, skipping rehearsals. He's missed, like, 6 rehearsals because he's been with the acapellas. Rachel tries to apologize to him. And he's like, you know what? You guys should hire that guy. I don't really have time for you anymore. I don't really have time for all this anymore. And it's probably going to be better if you hire that Dakota kid anyway.
Remember how one episode ago...
I know!
Will was so dedicated to Glee Club that...
He got a
part-time job as a janitor to work nights so that he could still coach the Glee Club even though it didn't pay well.
Yeah.
And then the second that he's like, ooh, maybe this will be sexy, he completely turns his back
and
on it.
And that's the thing is, like, I just don't buy it. I don't buy that this character, and, like, I hate Will, but the first thing I know about Will is he's super dedicated to being a teacher. And I just don't buy that so soon into forming this Glee Club, he would be so disenchanted with it so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I think this episode doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
So now that Zaddy Shoe has got his groove back with Acapellas and he is somehow more committed to this all-male acapella group that he's had for like 2 weeks than the Glee Club that he's been a part of for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I think it's time we dive real deep into the acapellas. So the first performance the acapellas have is when they're at the bar and they perform Poison. And Lena Marco pulled me because she was so grossed out by the fact that Will Schuster is wearing a fedora with a black t-shirt. I have in my notes, Poison. Will's fedora, no, stop, please.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it until I had watched it for the second time that he was wearing that, because he's not just wearing a fedora. I know, how dare I, right? What was I doing? I watched it last night at like 3 a.m. I was like taking notes, trying to like keep up with what was happening. So I just kind of watched it today without my notes. And I was like, what the freak is happening? He is wearing the fedora that is brown. It's a brown fedora, a black t-shirt, and blue jeans with the white, like detailing on it. Like, I know. I'm like, this is so 2009. I'm going to die. And he, like, you know, never trust a big butt and a smile. I have to say that before we go any further.
I tell you, it was literally that whole number. The only thing that didn't make me feel like I needed to take a shower was Howard Bamboo.
I love Howard.
I was like, Howard Bamboo's such a sweetie. I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I could stomach that number if it, because like Ken Tanaka's got like a sideways hat and it like, you feel like it's supposed to be a little goofy and self-aware.
Yeah. We're like, Ken is weird.
I could stomach it if it was just like, oh, it's like a bunch of dads, like, having a good time, but we recognize it's just like a bunch of dads.
Yeah.
But what is downright insulting to me is that the audience is into it.
Like, they Principal think Figgins it is like, uh-huh, this is and actually then, pretty good.
And then they freaking get that review in the paper, and it's like,
oh my God, the review.
Is William Schuster the next Michael Bublé? Absolutely not. Absolutely. He is not.
First of all, there were like 20 people at that bar. Like, no one is writing reviews like that. Michael Bublé is insulted by that. I was so grossed out by that.
And then that review has the audacity to slam Howard
Bamboo.
The only member of the group that I was rooting for.
And also, I'm pretty sure that the voice that they use in the number isn't the actor's real singing voice. But hear me out, it was very good.
Yeah, he sounded great.
Exactly, he sounded great. He did a great job of the number. Howard Bamboo has my whole heart. I honestly piss his freak.
There is something wrong with the world if in order to lift up the Will Schusters, we are tearing down the Howard Bamboos.
This is a Howard Bamboo love podcast and a Will Schuster hate podcast. I hate this man.
This is Howard Bamboo fans only.
If you don't like Howard,
go find another podcast to listen to.
Get the fuck out of here.
We don't want no Zaddy Schusters in here.
Zaddy okay, Howard.
Maybe a
forever.
Little bit. We want some Zaddy Bamboo.
Literally, and he can't count over 30. Do you remember that he can't count over 30?
I love him. Inventory.
Let's get t-shirt with his face on it. Oh, I God love him.
I wrote during the Poison performance because what I believe the writers want us to think is the audience is so into it. Clearly, like, this is amazing, which, okay, I'll be honest, their singing is good. I'm not going to be like,
definitely.
And they can't sing. Their singing is good. And Matthew Morrison has rhythm. That doesn't mean he's not creepy.
Yeah, certainly.
But the writers clearly want us to be like, the audience is so into it. They're so good. The fact that Terry is all mad about it is because she's the villain. I wrote in my notes, Terry's face is my exact facial expression
literally.
Right now.
Literally.
I was not pleased with what I was seeing on my television screen during this scene.
And then he ends the goddamn number with, like, he blows a kiss to the audience and does, like, a Jasper Hale, like, battle scars. Have you ever seen Twilight?
Oh, yeah. What one is that? I haven't seen Twilight
like,
longer ago than the last time I watched Glee.
I don't remember which Twilight it's in, but anyway, Jasper...
Is this Jasper Hales as in Alice
yeah.
and Jasper?
Yeah. Oh. He does, like, a big side thing. The kids at home, you can't see what I'm doing, but I'm doing, like, the side smile. You know what I mean?
What a niche,
weird topic.
In order to fully appreciate this podcast, you need to have watched Titanic and Twilight. That's your homework.
Anyway.
And then come back and re-listen.
Anyway, he's doing like this weird side smile that makes no sense. He blows a kiss to the audience, and like Emma is acting like she is viewing porn. And it makes me mad. It makes me mad.
I mean, to be fair, I felt the same way, but with a negative connotation.
Yeah, like not fun porn.
Yeah, where you're like, this feels so gross. I feel like I should not be seeing this.
Yeah, it's insulting. I hate. Well, and God, and they have CDs already.
But here's my biggest beef with Zadie Schuster in this episode. I can overlook that Zadie Schuster had to get his groove back, so he had to be all sexy for the ladies in an a cappella group. I don't like it, but I can let it pass by. What I cannot, in good conscience, allow to happen is this man to invite two underage high school students into his faculty a cappella group, and then for them to sing a song yes. called I Wanna Sex You Up
for
with
the
two
PTA.
16-year-olds. Oh my gosh, fire him! Throw him in
Literally,
prison!
He needs to be in jail. And especially, it's for the goddamn PTA meeting.
Right?
And they, like, literally, it cuts to the audience in that number, and they're all, like, enjoying it, and his parents are sitting there, enjoying themselves. I don't buy that. If I saw that at my PTA meeting, I would die.
I would have 911 on the phone immediately.
Hold on! How on God's green earth did everyone freak out and lose their shit over push it and then not
where everyone is 16
exactly.
and then freaking a 16-year-old boy humps the air and sings to a woman in the audience while his teachers are behind him like, yeah, we're into this too, and the audience eats that crap up for dinner.
It is so I hate
that
this
whole PTA is going to prison.
They're going to prison. They belong in prison. And you know, I hate Puck as a character.
I have noticed I used to find Puck funny in the way that like you would laugh at him.
Yeah.
I think some real life events surrounding the character of Puck and his actor have tainted my view. I feel the same way now. Every time he's on my screen, I'm like, get out of there!
I literally
go to jail with Zadie Schuster!
He is the most disgusting character. I think he's, like, probably, you know, a disgusting person as well, and we're not going to really get into that. But, like, I'm in the same boat where I was, like, and even watching this episode, like, he has that line that's, like, my bowels have better moves than you, and that kind of stuff made me laugh as a child. And he has some funny, like, punny lines that I still remember to this day, but I don't find him, like, hooking up with, like, 40-year-old moms funny. I don't think that's funny. I don't think it holds up. I don't like it. I hate Puck. I hate that, like, Will thought it was an okay thing to invite his two favorite 16-year-old students to be in his a cappella group and then to sing this stupid song. This episode is a garbage fire, at least in the A plot.
I will say, the one Puck moment that I think is so funny is the fact that he has an above-ground pool cleaning business. That's funny to me.
And that's, you know, and this show is really funny. It's really clever. And I think, and his lines oftentimes are clever. I don't like anything about his character. I'm not excited for him to join Glee Club.
I'm not done trashing on Zadie Schuster. This episode took it to another level.
Literally.
First of all, the fact that Finn is like, he lost Glee and he needs a creative outlet. And so Will Schuster is like, hey, do you want to sing a little something about sex for all your teachers? Like, that's not a way to amp up the kids' self-worth.
No.
That is, like, Okay, this might be too graphic. That's like grooming him.
It is.
Straight up.
You know what?
I'm gonna
agree with you. And I think that, I don't know how much Will knows about Finn, like, at all. But I do know that Finn is a character who lacks a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Will really preys on that in this show a lot. I think he recognizes a lot of Finn in himself and, like, kind of takes him in. And Finn sees Will as, like, a father figure to him. And the way that Will takes that trust that Finn puts in him is disgusting.
Yeah. Hey, William Schuster, I got an idea. If a student comes up to you and they say, I'm feeling lost and I don't have a creative outlet because the club's falling apart since you aren't directing it anymore, maybe spend more time directing the club and don't bring them into your little club of sexual predators to sing all nasty songs.
And that's the thing, is it's actually a club of sexual predators. Because
yeah,
we have...
Yeah, Ken Tanaka is horrifying.
He's
literally
gross.
Henri and Howard Bamboo were too innocent.
Angels.
And so
angels.
The universe had to pull them out of the club to keep them from getting defiled.
Yeah.
And then replace them with freaking Sandy Ryerson.
Yes.
And Puck.
Sexual predators.
Yeah. Which, while we're on the subject, I laugh a lot at Sandy Ryerson.
Yeah.
I think Stephen Tobolowsky is very, very funny. I have an idea. What if we did a character that said all of those lines and was funny and still was creepy but wasn't a pedophile?
Yeah.
That's my big ugly for this episode, is I wish Sandy wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah.
We can have funny characters and not have them have done such horrible things.
Yeah, especially to students, and then put them in situations with more students. Because they say in the episode he can't be within, like, what, 60 feet of students.
50 feet, yeah.
And there he is with
on
Puck and Finn.
With Finn and Puck.
Yeah. I don't like it. Ugh. Anyway, the A plot of this episode is so fucking stupid. I hate it.
Really fast, though, before we jump ship on this terrible A-plot, which we should.
I'm ready to talk
about
the B-plot
already. I have to tell you,
already.
The line that made me laugh so hard, that is a Sandy Ryerson line,
mm-hmm.
is there's two of them. They're both about Josh Groban, of course.
Of course.
The
Can
first
you believe
one is when...
that they got Josh Groban on the show? Like, on episode 3? How'd that happen?
I know.
It.
Like, the show hadn't premiered yet.
Yeah.
Good for you, Josh.
Good for you, Josh.
The first one is when Sandy's talking about how he and Josh are pen pals because Josh accidentally friended him on MySpace. It's 2009. No one uses MySpace, writers. And Howard Bamboo says, who is Josh Groban? And Sandy says, who is Josh Groban? Kill yourself. I laughed hysterically at that line.
It is really funny. And I think we're going to revisit this a lot. Like, if Rachel told someone to kill themselves, I'd probably...
Yeah, it hits different than a character
It hits different when
that,
it's a bad person. Yeah. So I get that. I laughed as well. But, like, baby Howard, I love him.
The other Sandy line is at the end of the episode when he runs backstage and he tells him that Josh Groban is out in the audience and he's like, brown hair... I don't know what color Josh Groban's eyes are. Big brown eyes,
I think. So. I think so.
Cute as a buttermilk biscuit. I barfed. It truly...
I say stuff like that all the time. I love it.
It's such a shame to me that they made his character a pedophile.
I know. He's so good.
Because Stephen Tobolowsky is so funny that I would have loved for Sandy to be a bigger character.
Yeah.
But since they gave him the backstory they gave him, I'm like, I don't love having him around.
That's the thing. Ugh, I don't know. Anyway, I'm ready to, you know, jump ship on this A-plot. I'm sick,
all right.
I'm sick of
Goodbye,
it.
Goodbye, Zaddy Schuster. Glad you got your groove back.
Hello, Mercedes and Kurt. This is...
Goodbye, Zaddy Schuster. Hello, Mercedes and Kurt.
Hear me out.
Hello, love.
I love this B-plot. As
oh,
much as I hate
good.
this A-plot, this B-plot is everything to me. I love Mercedes and Kurt. I love their friendship. It is very special to me. I love everything about it. Let's talk. How do you feel, Ian?
I love it. I love that we get a plot, folk. We get a student plot line that isn't based on Rachel and Finn.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I love that Mercedes and Kurt finally get some time to shine. Oh my gosh, their relationship is so natural and so cute. And I forgot, because Mercedes, rightfully so, becomes uber confident and outspoken over the course of the show. I forgot how innocent and unsure she is in the early episodes.
Yeah.
And it hurt my heart in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I love that you can see, like, genuine friendships blooming between the kids in the Glee Club, and that you see a moment of Rachel interacting with the other students that isn't her terrorizing them.
Like, Rachel
them.
And Tina, like, having a friendship, like, in the background like that. Mm-hmm. I was so pleased to see that. Wow. I love these kids so much. I love all these characters so much. I don't care for Will Schuster, and I'm going to continue to say that. And I hate these episodes that are more Will-faced than they are kids-based. Because, like,
more Will-faced than kids-based.
I'll
say
it.
That's our new slogan.
I love the Cheerios in this. I love all the Glee kids. I love it. So let's unpack, like, Mercedes and Kurt a little bit. So Mercedes is, like, developing a crush on Kurt, and Kurt ends up coming out to her at the end of this episode.
Which, excellent performance
excellent.
By Chris Colfer.
Wow.
By both of them, but
literally it, so good.
He's the focus of the scene.
It is really, like, so heartfelt. It just tugs at my heartstrings. I love Mercedes' performance in this with Bust Your Windows. It's her first song in the whole show. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of the first song that, like, employs more, like, fantasy elements.
Yeah.
Which, like, I read something that they wanted to keep all of the numbers pretty reality-based. But this is the first one that is almost entirely in Mercedes' head.
Yeah, it's the first one that is non-diegetic. I want to sound
definitely.
Smart, but did I use that word right? Hold up. Oh, yeah. Okay. We're keeping that in.
Okay.
I looked it up. It is correct. It is the first number of the show that is entirely non-diegetic, ladies and gentlemen.
Which, I love this number. I love, this is the first time we get to see Brittany really dance. She is so incredible. I'm so glad she's in the show. Mercedes absolutely kills this number. I love everything about it. I love that it's like her little music video. I love her standing on the car. I love the car wash. Like, where did she get that rock, though? She
also,
just pulled out of nowhere.
How did that rock? How cheap is this car?
Yeah.
That someone can pick up a rock and she doesn't even full force throw it.
I know.
She's just like, boop, shattered. If Kurt got in a car accident, he is dead in that thing.
And also, true. Also, how does Kurt have a car that nice with rims that spin?
This is one of my complaints with this episode. It is because they set Bert Hummel up to, A, be much more successful than he is, but B, to be, like, pretty homophobic. Because he gave Kurt the Escalade because Kurt promised to stop wearing form.
Is that what kind of car it
is? I don't know cars. They just say Escalade, so don't be impressed.
Oh, I don't remember that.
If it's not an Escalade, I misheard. I wouldn't know. But he gave him the car because Kurt promised to stop wearing form-fitting knee-length sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And then he takes the car away because he found Kurt's tiara collection in Hope Chest. And it just sets up Bert Hummel to be a 100% different character than he turns out to be. And that struck me as very weird because we do meet Bert in the next episode. So once again, these writers are flip-flopping, like, episode to episode on characterizations.
What? Like, I don't even understand. It's so funny to me how all of these characters are so beautifully fleshed out. Like, immediately, we talked about this last episode, that, like, the kids all know who they are. They all have very strong characters. And I think a lot of that has to do with, A, them being great actors, and B, really strong writing. But then we get these, like, terrible plot holes that,
it's
left episode by episode. This is episode 3. There should not be this many plot holes.
It's because the characters are stereotypes. And I'm not saying that's bad writing because the show is a satire and satire thrives on stereotypes. But the reason that they have such strong characterizations is because they are the gay theater kid, the sassy black girl, the shy goth girl, the dumb jock who also has a heart, the overbearing nerdy diva. Like, they are characters that you see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why their characterizations are so strong. So it does not shock me that the writers do have these plot holes in the plot.
It's disappointing. Anyway, let's talk more about Mercedes and Kurt. So Quinn and Santana are like trying to convince Mercedes to like ask Kurt out, and they kind of manipulate her into like pursuing that relationship more, which like so sad. And I feel like I've been that girl that like, especially when I was super young, like like meeting boys and like getting attention from boys and then them just being turning out to be gay. Shout out to all those boys that I had crushes on who turned out to be gay. I love you all. That's a compliment to you. Anyway. But I've totally like been in that situation. I totally feel for Mercedes. And also, I love how Mercedes is so supportive of Kurt in the end. And also goes up to Kurt and is like, hey, listen, like, I am so sorry I did that to your car. I really like being your friend. I'll pay for the damages. Like, she totally, like, humbles herself and like goes and talks to Kurt and is like there for him. And then he comes out to her. Mercedes is the very first person that he tells that he's gay, and that is so special.
They're just two little sweeties.
They are two little sweeties.
They have such good chemistry in this episode.
They do.
Want to know something about this B plot that I thought was hilarious?
Huh.
The very first scene of the two of them, when Kurt's in his locker and Mercedes is just, like, wistfully looking at all the couples in school. She's like, Kurt, have you ever kissed anyone? And she's looking over at Santana and Puck kissing.
Which,
and in that moment, I was like,
insert my gag here.
But in that moment, I was like, Puck and Kurt are supposed to be the same age here. And literally, Kurt is, like, this little baby face.
Yeah.
And Puck is a grown adult man.
Yeah.
Because Mark Schaling is 27 years old. And Chris Colfer is 19. And it's so funny that it's like, yeah, they're both sophomores in high school. Haven't you been to high school? This is how it works.
I was actually thinking that watching the Vocal Adrenaline kids as well. Because all those boys, especially, like, girls kind of, like, you know, they look like that in high school. But, like, those boys especially, they're all, like, muscly. They all have the same body type. Like, all of them look the same. Ooh, that's man. Not what my high school
any boys
like.
Who got muscly in high school can freaking eat my farts. My body was like, you got two options, short and chubby or tall and lanky. There's no in between. It didn't matter what I did.
Yeah, like, especially those Vocal Adrenaline boys, like, they look like athletes. They're dancers. They're adult athlete dancers. And shoot, man, it was so
while
funny
on the
to
topic,
me.
Let's talk about Mercy by Vocal Adrenaline.
Wow. I love that song.
I wrote in my notes, every episode should have a Vocal Adrenaline number.
Honestly, it's everything.
They are. Of course, I love our New Directions kids more because they have heart.
Yeah.
But actual dancing is much more impressive than just walking around stage.
Yeah.
And I would love some actual dance numbers with more frequency. So I just... The Vocal Adrenaline numbers are so, so fun.
They're so good.
And I think this is the last one we get until the back nine of season one. Like, I don't think we see Vocal
Adrenaline
again until
funk. Yeah, we get
some in Funk. After sectionals. Well, we get Hello. Spoiler alert. Hello has Vocal Adrenaline because it's when we meet Jesse St. James.
Yes.
But I don't think we see them again until then.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if they made up some bullcrap excuse to go to Carmel High every episode and watch Vocal Adrenaline,
I'm here.
I'd forgive the writers because I want to see it.
Yeah. And I love, you know us, we love strong villains. And I love seeing Vocal Adrenaline kids act like, you know, just very intense weirdos about going to rehearsal until freaking midnight. I love to hear it. I love Vocal Adrenaline. Oh, I can't wait to hear more from Vocal Adrenaline.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
While we're on the topic of numbers, musical numbers, we already talked about Acapellas. I cannot go back there.
I won't.
Do not have it in me.
I won't.
Those numbers did not happen. We are erasing them from the narrative.
Huh?
Everyone forget that it was ever
what?
A thing. Aka who?
Aka huh?
Zaddy when? Who got their groove back?
I've never heard of that.
But I will say, on the Acapella point, because this is a thought that I had, why does Victor Garber dress like he's a newsboy in 1899?
It is so random to me. Like his little bow ties?
He goes up to Will after the final performance, and he's like, oh my gosh, I just want to let you know you were so good. He has a freaking page boy cap on. He's got a bow tie. What? This man was an alcoholic who burned down their house. Why is he dressing like that?
Yeah, why is he dressing like a newsboy? I love...
This is why Will turned out the way he did. Truly. His dad dresses like that while burning down houses.
But you know who I love?
Who?
Will's mom. I love Will's mom in this episode, but she like hooks up with Josh Groban. Josh Groban says something to her that's like,
this might surprise you, but hordes of screaming teenage girls don't do it for Josh Groban. No, Josh Groban loves him, a blousy alcoholic.
And then he freaking hooks up with Will Schuster's mom. That's canon. Real life.
That is canon.
I love to hear it. I thought she was so funny, like her like waddling away from them when she was super drunk.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Okay. I know I said let's talk about musical numbers, but you know what? Screw past Ian. He didn't know what he wanted. Here's me calling out moments that I loved that I can't bring up organically because we already talked about these scenes.
Okay.
At the car wash, when Sue compliments Emma but calls her Irma. That's hilarious. Okay, this joke, like the Sandy Ryerson joke earlier, is going to expose the dark side of myself. I would just like to reiterate, we're laughing at Dakota Johnson because we're laughing at the fact that he would be this awful of a person. When he's walking to the Glee Club and he tells Artie he's cut because he's not trying hard enough, and Artie says, at what? And he goes, walking. That took me out. Sorry, everyone. I promise I'm not a bad person.
We know you're not a bad person. And we're going to continue to say this. Dakota Johnson isn't a good person. If Rachel said that, or if Finn said that, okay, let's stop saying Rachel. Rachel's not a great person. If Finn said that to Artie,
it would be a 100% different
exactly.
joke.
Exactly. It would be a totally 100% different joke. And it's funny because this villain is obviously so absurd. Like, this boy is paralyzed. Like, obviously he can't walk. So, like, I don't think you're a bad person for thinking that's funny.
Yeah, audience, so stop giving me crap and stop making us say it, or we'll say it 5 more times this same episode.
Stop tweeting us your hate.
We know you have been commenting nonstop on our Instagram. You have been tweeting at us. Don't look for evidence. Take our word for it. People are coming for our backs, and we've had enough. We will pack it up. We will leave. Have fun listening to nothing.
These 12 hours that the podcast has been live have been the 12 hardest hours of my life. Stop
tweeting me. Ever since it was published, I have been crying. I have been in hysterics because everyone is coming after me over everything I said and I didn't do anything wrong. So please get off our backs.
My phone will not stop blowing up.
I had to throw mine in the trash.
You guys, I don't have that much data.
We became too famous too fast. We posted it 12 hours ago.
And this is our
and
final
And already, man, we're ending the podcast. Already, the media is contacting us. They want to know what we want
to
say.
Friend
I had
podcast,
to go into hiding.
Jaba Maeve
showed up at my house with a restraining order. Are you guys having fun? Is this the funniest episode so far?
I think it
Back
is.
Back to Glee.
Okay, so I've been like dictating my notes while I watch the episode, right? And none of the words turn out right. And I just look down at my phone and it says, Liverpool Adrenaline Kids perform Mercy. It's amazing. Duh.
Liverpool Adrenaline. Okay. So besides the Liverpool Adrenaline number and Bust Your Windows and the horror that is Acapellas, is that all the musical numbers in this episode? I think it is.
One of my notes says... I don't even know what this means.
What?
It says...
Lena, out with it. Are you crying?
I'm really sorry. It's not even going to be funny to anybody but me. It says... Oh my God, I'm crying. It says...
Lena, you gotta be kidding me.
I'm really sorry. Okay, I'm really sorry. Cut this. I'm really crying. Okay. It says, you, Frank, wants to join Rockefellers. You, Frank, wants to join Rockefellers.
What is this supposed to say?
I think it's Puck.
But who's you?
I don't know. I dictate my notes. You, Frank, wants to join Rockefeller.
Anyways, so Zaddy Schuster is in the Rockefellers. He's one of the Rockefellers.
And so is Frank. I don't know why I thought that was the funniest thing that's ever happened to me, no, but it really was.
I have to say, it was pretty quality.
Oh my god, no, no, it says, oh my god, again, it says, you, Frank, has a nipple ring.
Every time Puck, it changes to that?
Yeah, I think so.
Why does it put a U? How many times do you say that?
The F word?
Yeah, how many times are you specifically like, you, Frank? Like, not just the F word, but with you in front of it.
Not really. Not a lot. I never...
The evidence says otherwise.
The proof is in the pudding, bitch.
While we're on the topic of you, bleep, and the Rockefellers, let's take a moment to touch on that scene where Will coaches Puck and Finn on how to move their hips. Oh, it's terrible. The best part is that scene is so awkward.
It's so bad.
It's so uncomfortable. It's clearly supposed to be charming.
Spoiler alert, it's not. Spoiler alert, anything that has to do with Will Schuster is so fucking disgusting to me. I'm pissed.
After that terrible scene that's so awkward and Will teaches them, like, just swing that big old bat.
That's so phallic, I'm gonna die.
Finn has a line where he goes, that hip thing was really good, Mr. Shu. And I lost it because it is supposed to be dead serious.
Oh,
that we are like,
my God.
Oh, like Finn sees him as a father figure. But seriously,
it's so
that
nasty.
Hip thing was real good, Mr. Shu.
What does that remind me of? It reminds me of when, like, Pain and Panic are talking to Hercules in Hercules, when they're like, jeepers, mister.
Jeepers, mister. That hip thing was really good, Mr. Shu.
Hold on. Are we Pain and Panic?
I am the panic to your pain 100%.
We've unlocked that.
We're starting a Pain and Panic podcast where every episode we review Hercules. We watch Hercules once a week, and then we talk about it.
Oh.
Let us know if you're excited to listen.
Yeah, comment down below if you want to listen to that.
So, to review, you got Titanic, you got Twilight, you got Hercules. Will the list keep growing? Stay tuned to find out.
Stay tuned.
Back to Glee. Ooh. I had one. Oh, the other line that made me roll my eyes out of my head is, after Bust Your Windows, the song ends with Kurt saying,
You busted my windows!
You busted my windows! And then Mercedes says, yeah, well, you busted my heart.
Honestly?
No!
Wait, that's a clap back. My queen.
No.
I love it. I don't care.
The fact you do not end a song called Bust Your Windows by a character saying, you busted my windows.
Oh, no, his line sucks. Her line rocks.
That feels like Emma drawing a heart around Will's picture in the yearbook.
Sure.
Like, writers, we get it.
We get it. You're funny.
We have comprehension skills. You do not need to tell us something over and over again.
Ooh, let's talk about Finn. I don't have much to say about him in this episode because he's not really in it much because he, like, quits Glee Club. He joins
the Rockefellers.
The Rockefellers with you.
He becomes a Rockefeller.
But there's this moment in the scene with Dakota where where all the Glee kids have just quit Glee Club because Dakota sucks and he's terrible and he, like, is terrible.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I just have one tidbit about this scene that I just remembered.
Okay.
He calls Finn Frankentine.
Frankentine.
Because Finn is, and he is like, you're so tall. You are so tall. You make me feel like a woodland creature. Oh my gosh. I looked it up. I'm taller than Cory Monteith.
You're taller than everybody. Isn't he? What's he, like, 6'3"?
No, he's 6'4". So he is tall.
Oh, you're taller than him by an inch.
I am the Frankentine.
The Frankentine. I'm pretty sure that was his Twitter handle. Anyway, so, like, he's being corrected to them. All the Glee kids have just quit. And Rachel talks about Barbara Streisand. And it's a really cute scene. Like, they're all talking about how their differences make them special. And you know what? That's the theme of this show. So I thought that scene was cute. They, like, band together. They're stronger than ever. And then my sweet, sweet baby Finn, he smiles at Rachel, and his smile lit a fire in my heart that is still burning. I think he is such a sweetheart. And,
is a reason that watching these first three episodes caused me to relapse into my Glee phase so heavily. They got some heart to them.
They really do.
Oh my gosh.
This B-plot should have been the A-plot.
The fact that Zaddy Shoe gets his groove back still gave me the warm fuzzies is a testament to how strong this first season
definitely.
Is.
Definitely. And that's so true. Like, we can on the A-plot so much, and then I can still walk away. And you know what? Like, the last scene of the episode where Rachel is like, yeah, Mr. Shu, like, that dance was really good. Oh. I loved that scene, too. And that, you're so right. Like, it's just a testament to how good this first season is and how strong these characters are and just how much heart it has. And, I love it.
I also love, really fast,
yeah,
that we get a tiny glimpse into Quinn's redemption.
Yes, Quinn.
That after Sue makes her and Santana sniff their armpits because it's the smell of failure, and after she tells them that their tanning privileges are revoked, and Naya Rivera bursts into tears, which is hysterical. I'm telling you, Naya Rivera fought for this part.
She really did. Because it's what you she can deserves.
Tell. Yeah, because you can tell in the pilot she had one line, as I mentioned, that was cut. But you can tell that the writers were like, holy crap, this girl came to play.
She did.
Because they keep giving her more and more stuff, and she knocks out of the park.
Anyways,
we're not talking about Naya Rivera, but as usual, she takes all the focus because she was incredible.
Yeah, as usual.
But Quinn, as she's leaving the office, turns to Sue and says essentially, like, I learned a very important lesson from you today. And what does she say?
She says something along the lines of, she says, like, I learned how important it is today to not make yourself feel bigger by stepping on other people. Yeah, something along something those like lines. That. One of the themes of the show.
I just wanted to say, I thought it was cool that we got a little hint that Quinn had more going on than being a mean cheerleader.
You know what was interesting about this episode? Quinn and Finn are never near each other. They're in the same room three times, and they're always standing really far apart.
Which, considering that reason Quinn joined was to keep Rachel and Finn apart, she ain't doing a good job at it.
No, I didn't think that was very smart, because literally in the scene with Dakota, it's the Glee kids, and then the Cheerios, and then Rachel and Finn. And Quinn is standing in between Santana and Brittany, and then Finn is at the end. And I was like, in what goddamn world is Queen Bee Quinn for Bray gonna let Rachel stand next to her boyfriend?
Yeah.
That's so... I didn't buy it. I don't buy it.
I don't have anything else to say. Do you have any other thoughts on Rockefellers? On Rockefellers, how Zaddy Shoe got his groove back?
You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The B-plot should have been the A-plot. The A-plot should have been the B-plot.
No, the A-plot should not have happened.
It shouldn't have happened. I don't...
The B-plot should have been the A-plot, and then there should have been no B-plot.
The B-plot should have died in a fire, like Will's...
Yeah.
The one that Will's dad set. Other than that, I don't think I have any more thoughts for the episode.
Great.
I'm glad it's over. I'm ready to talk about Preggers. Oh my God.
I'm ready for Preggers.
I'm so ready for Preggers.
All right, what's your best part, worst part?
Okay. Best part. When Kurt came out, hear me out. I don't know a lot about television from 2009 because I was 13. So I watched, Hannah Montana. So, I wasn't watching a lot of stuff. But this was, the first show I saw as a young person with, a young person coming out. And that was really special to me. Really, I was so glad to see something like that in my formative years. It's really changed me as a person. I appreciate that Mercedes was so open to hearing Kurt and was such a good friend to him. I appreciate everything about that. And it just brought up a lot of those feelings, and I loved it. What was your best part?
My best part was also that scene. I think it's so good. I think the chemistry is great. The performances are great. But you already said it. So to keep my brand of you saying very sentimental things and then me saying very superficial best moments, my best moment was when Liverpool Adrenaline performed Mercy Oh, it's so
amazing.
Fun.
It's amazing.
It is electric. It is very fun to watch.
It's electric.
All right.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
What was your worst moment?
My worst moment. It's so hard to choose. I think I'm going to have to go with the fedora of it all.
No, that was mine.
That's what you get for letting me go first.
That fedora is the biggest sin in this episode. Ryan Murphy should be put in jail for the rest of his life for that fedora alone.
Yeah, the fedora and the kiss to the audience with the Jasper Hale mouth. It was freaking disgusting.
No, thank you. Will Schuster in this episode lost minimum 2 million points 2 million. Towards being a good teacher.
Literally, he is such a great teacher. This episode proves it. Oh my god.
Give his students a refund.
Literally.
Terrible.
Anyway.
I didn't do my worst moment.
Oh, what's your worst moment? You said it was the fedora. You're picking a new one?
I'm gonna branch out.
All right, pick a new one.
We can't double up. We can't have the same best and worst moment for Rockefeller.
We can. We're really good friends.
No. My worst moment was gonna sex you up. The whole thing. There's also Finn. No, the least offensive in that number is Sandy Ryerson because he's not supposed to be sexy and he's purposely awkward and it's funny.
Yeah.
The other four need to go to prison for the rest of their lives.
They belong in prison. It's that so number nasty.
Is the worst I have felt in a long time.
Yeah.
It took me to a dark place and I don't want to go back
the
there.
The way Will has his bow tie undone.
Ooh,
there should be a trigger warning in the description for the podcast that says that we gag a ton in this episode.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there should be a trigger warning for that performance.
that too.
When the scene starts, it's like, you know what? You're better off just turn your TV off for 3 minutes. Come honestly. Back in when Josh Groban shows up.
Yeah.
You're not going to be missing anything that you wouldn't want to see.
You're not. Also, I just feel like this episode didn't really add a lot to the plot other than Kurt coming out.
Yeah.
It didn't.
That B story really carried this episode.
It really did. Like what? Like Will has a springa.
He got his groove back. How many times are you going to make me say it? Zaddy Schuster was missing his groove. He had to get it back. You think the rest of the season could happen if he did not have his groove?
Let's end it there.
And that's what you missed on Glee.
All right, everybody. Go out there and spread some Glee. We love you.
Spread some Glee.
Spread some Glee.
Go find any Zaddy Schusters in your life that are looking for their groove. Help them get it back.
And then send them to jail.
And then put them in jail for life. Goodbye.
Bye. Love you guys. See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
This is how we do it.
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 Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.